Really want to thank my guest for joining me this morning, State Representative Christian Mitchell. When he was sworn into office in 2013, youngest member of the 98th General Assembly. Christian's joining us this morning. Morning, sir. How are you, Mr. Mitchell?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tom. Glad to be here and glad to be with the listeners of your station. Thanks for having me.
All right. But, you know, the thing here this morning is, right, we're talking about an area that's near north side of Streeterville and Loop, Oakland, Grand Boulevard in Chicago. But really, statewide responsibilities. As of July 10th, Christian was named the interim executive director of the Democratic Party. How's that job been going so far?
It's been going great. I've gotten a chance to travel up and down the state and and make sure that we're spreading a Democratic message, that we're a statewide party, that we've got an alternative to the failure we've seen in the last 4 years. It's been devastating, not just to people in my district, but to people all across the state, including, you know, your listeners and people who attend SIU Carbondale or live in the area. And I've really enjoyed it. We've got a chance to flip a bunch of seats and make sure that we've got strong representation in the House and the Senate and the Congress. That's my job, and I'm excited to do it.
Well, right. Right now, though, the Democrats do have control of the Congress and the Senate in Illinois.
We do. And I think that that's actually been positive. You know, so my first ever hearing of my Economic Opportunity Committee, which is the committee that I chair in my legislative capacity, was actually down at SIU Carbondale with now former President Randy Dunn and with the mayor of Carbondale. And the reason I did that is sort of twofold. One, I've got about 70 students every year from my district who go down to SIU. They come back there. Nurses, their techs, their physician's assistants, their other jobs that allow them to be examples in our community, and that's fantastic. But also because SIU Carbondale is this vital economic institution that the governor's budget basically cut by 62%. And so we got a Republican mayor in Carbondale who's basically like, look, this is our steel mill. This is the thing that creates economic vitality in southern Illinois. We've got to make sure that we protect it. And it was through the fact that we had Democrats in the legislature who saw the value of higher education, we were able to reverse some of those cuts and restore the funding of that school. So I think that there, yes, we have a majority, but making sure that we protect it, making sure that we are investing in all of Illinois is really important to me.
You know, it's interesting because in speaking in the past with heads of both the Democratic and Republican parties, I was often surprised how often people at your level had said, it's not so much what we did, it's what we stopped from happening. And it's interesting because I kind of heard you reference that in a way just a moment ago.
Yeah, that's right. And we had a philosophical difference. I don't dislike the governor personally, but I would say that, you know, that viewpoint on higher education is incredibly important, because if you look at Carbondale, Charleston, Macomb, other college towns around the state, if you don't believe in higher education, then you don't believe in a couple things. One is the local economy, because for one of the offshoots of what happened with the SIU crisis that Governor Rauner caused was closing the Small Business Development Center. So if you're a small government conservative, you believe in creating small businesses, that is a vital function of that university. But also, it's my belief that if you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a doctor, why should you have to go to St. Louis or Chicago to get your degree? Why can't you stay at a great school in your local community, give back to your friends and neighbors? The governor doesn't seem to believe that. We do. And so stopping the destruction of the higher education system is an example of what happens when you stop a bad thing from happening above and beyond making more good things happen.
You know, what I find interesting is there are different kinds of Democrats, and downstate Democrats are a great deal more conservative than northern Democrats. We see this not only on the state level, but it seems that I'm seeing the same type of thing from Brendan Kelly to a certain extent. Downstate Democrats, a little bit different, a little more conservative.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about being a Democrat, Tom, is that we're a big tent party. You've got some great, state reps and senators down that way. You've got Natalie Phelps-Finney, you've got Monica Bristow, you've got Andy Menar, you've got Jerry Costello, you've got Brendan Kelly, as you mentioned. And these are folks who are staunch Second Amendment supporters, who are relatively conservative, who are local representatives, who represent their communities well. And I think it makes us better and stronger as a Democratic Party. That, you know, I'm up from Chicago, and I've got a viewpoint, even though my family's from Sparta, Tennessee, so I'm a little different. I sort of get it. But you've got folks who are great local representatives who fight for their community and are willing to stand up to the Democratic Party where they disagree with what the party orthodoxy is. I think that makes us stronger. It's one of the reasons I'm very proud to be a Democrat and proud to be in this job.
You know, it's really interesting when you think about this, because I don't want to pick somebody out, but it looks like I'm going to have to at this point. Natalie Phelps-Finney, right? Very much anti-abortion, very much. I mean, and you wonder if you have that standpoint and you're a Democrat, because there's national pressure, and whether that message gets lost inside of the Democratic Party, that you do have people like Costello, very pro Second Amendment, very pro, right? Sometimes I listen to him speak, I'm going, you sure you're a Democrat, right? and you know, and whether that message, if you want, you're a Democrat, you get lost inside the bigger message.
Mm-hmm. I think candidates and campaigns matter. I think personalities matter. And I think the two people that you just named are two strong personalities who are not afraid to speak out, not afraid to stand up for their values and the values of their community. I think what unites Democrats for the most part is a belief in investing in to protect and expand the middle class, protecting the rights of workers to unionize, which is a substantial disagreement, for example, with this governor. Those are the things that unite us. And on some of the other issues, I have my own personal beliefs. Others do as well. But we're a party that is big enough to allow people to express those beliefs. And I think that Natalie Phelps Finney, Jerry Costello, Monica Bristow, Brennan Kelly, all really good examples of people who represent their communities, stand up for their values, and are still, I believe, good Democrats.
What are your feelings when it plays into that, too? Because I know you were brought up in the church. You were a faith-based community organizer. In some cases, faith and the Democratic Party and politics really don't interface so well.
Well, I still go to church every Sunday. I take my mother to church anytime that I'm not working or sort of caught up in an event. Faith is incredibly important to me, but I also believe that my job is to make sure that we create an environment where any church who wants to, regardless of their message, provided that it's fine and legal, can go out, proselytize, in my case, preach the gospel and try to save souls. But I don't believe that it is the job of government to impose morality on others, to impose our moral code, because that's just not, I believe in rendering unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. So my faith is a guiding light for me. It's something that I take when I walk in the legislature every single day in terms of how I make my moral decisions. But I don't believe it's my job to impose it upon others. And I think that the thing I really like about the Democratic Party is that for the most part, we don't do that.
It's interesting because you just, you know, talked a couple about rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, right? And that's specifically, of course, talking biblically about taxes, as both you and I know. And what I find interesting is that when we get in these situations like this, that there's very often some parables that come into play. And right now, live by the sword, die by the sword comes to mind, especially with the nature of rhetoric today and this highly polarized, confrontational, physically confrontational political environment we're in, with protests, with Maxine Waters saying, chase them into the streets. And every time I hear that type of rhetoric, I say, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Yeah, look, I think protest is powerful. I think it's important. I think that you see it on sort of all sides of the debate. You know, every year you have the Illinois State Rifle Association come down in their gold shirts and they pack the Capitol and they talk to lawmakers. And we have difficult conversations, whether we agree or disagree. I think that part of it's really good. I think that where it gets dangerous is when people start to take stuff personally. One of the things that I've really valued about my time in the legislature is I would say my friends, Republican Democrat splits about 50-50, and that we can stand up, fight on the floor, disagree on stuff, and then go out and get a beer or get a steak sandwich and be completely fine with each other. A lot of people don't see a bunch of that stuff, Tom, because it's not really, you know, publicized. It's not on television. But there are a lot of us in Springfield who, despite our differences, despite our different political affiliations, really get along really, really well. And I think that that's a good thing.
We're speaking with State Representative Christian Mitchell, who's the interim executive director of the Democratic Party of Illinois. You know, it's interesting because you just talked about getting along right with the Republicans. Is that why you were elected executive director for the Democratic Party in Illinois?
No, I think in this very limited scope for the next 6 months, I don't think we're going to get along very well at all. But I think that the difference there is that we will be contesting issues in political campaigns. I'm going to be what my job is to spread a statewide message for Democrats, and what my message is look, if you believe that workers ought to have the right to organize and form strong unions, if you believe that we ought to be making sure that we are investing in the things that make all of Illinois great, including our higher education system, which is so vital for our friends downstate, if you believe in making sure that our farmers have what they need, if you believe in making sure our schools are strong and vibrant, you ought to vote for a Democrat, because on all of these issues, this is the record we formed over the last 4 years, and it's in direct contrast to what Governor Rauner's done the last 4 years. That is a message about issues. In terms of the personal attacks, personal issues, that's not my style. I think it's the reason why some of my Republican friends were like, well, we hope you don't win too many seats, but we wish you well, and we think you're good in this role, because they know it's not going to be personal. It's going to be strictly business.
But doesn't it, I mean, because you say, look, I'm in favor of union jobs, and those union jobs are union and steel country in Granite City yesterday, but you were there protesting.
Yeah, and here's the reason why I was there. I was there because, first of all, you've got a trade war the president started mostly for his ego, and that's had a devastating impact to Illinois farmers who produce corn and soybeans. So that's a negative side of what the president's doing. But it was also to say, look, for everything that the president's doing, right, wrong, et cetera, we know that we need affordable health care. We need it here in the state of Illinois. And then when you take it away, that's a kitchen table issue, because it is money that cannot go toward paying the rent, paying the energy bill, whatever it is. And so we don't find it acceptable here in Illinois that this president has tried every single day to take away coverage for people with pre-existing conditions, to take away coverage for health care. There were local activists who were standing up for that, and I wanted to be alongside them because it's a message I think everyone across party lines agrees with.